Whitey Bulger is finally on trial after 16 years on the run. The Boston mobster, who was once on the FBI's most wanted list, is accused of murdering 19 people, as well as extortion and racketeering. The prosecution alleges he worked as an FBI informant in exchange for protection. Dick Lehr is the co-author with Gerald O'Neill of Whitey, the life of America's most notorious mobster. He joins us from member station WBUR in Boston. Dick, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Scott.
So this was the first week of the trial. What did you notice?
Well, I think what was most surprising and remarkable was the defense opening argument. Whitey's lawyers conceded countless crimes, announcing he was a gambler, a loan shark, an extortionist, and even including drug trafficking, which is something Whitey and his image makers had always resisted. But he seemed to be asserting an argument that wanted to clean up Whitey's image. He was insisting he's never been an FBI informant, despite a mountain of evidence.
Okay to say he's been a drug dealer, just don't call him an FBI informant?
That's right. It really boiled down. That was the bottom line. And he cited two main reasons why he would never be an FBI informant.
Yeah.
Number one in the defense was his Irish-American heritage, and it's the worst thing you can do if you're an Irish, have Irish heritage.
To be a rat.
And this number two was the claim that he had no ties to the FBI. And lo and behold, the government's first witness was a state trooper who hauled out a bunch of video surveillance from the early 1980s showing Whitey in his office near Boston Garden in an auto body shop. And there come all the mafia bosses from the north end of the city coming to see Whitey Bulger.
You know, every now and then we need to explain to the rest of the country what has made the Whitey Bulger story so fascinating. He was on the lam for 16 years. The thought was always present in people's minds that when somebody this well-known can't be found for 16 years, he must have high-placed help, right?
Yep, and that's been part of his legacy, frankly. What makes him, what we argue in our biography, probably the most significant crime figure in the last century. It isn't his longevity, but it's this connection to the FBI in Boston. That's what puts him in a league of his own, and that's what I think people everywhere should be concerned about, is that he was at the center of the worst informant scandal in the Bureau's history.
Well, let me get you to run that down for us a bit, because the implication has always been that there were at least certain elements in the FBI who would let the Bulger organization do a lot, if not everything they wanted to, in exchange for information that they could use for prosecutions.
That's the basic deal, the way it's supposed to work when under the Bureau's top echelon informant program, they enlisted underworld figures to give them information, and then the Bureau might give them a little running room to do their nonviolent rackets. But in Boston, the mountain of evidence now shows, from early on in, after the deal was struck in 1975, Whitey turned the tables, and he turned a band of agents into his security force of sorts. They were leaking to him information about other underworld figures who were cooperating against him. There's a handful of murders that Whitey's facing charges for now that they're called the tip-off murders. And these were murders Whitey is alleged to have committed based on tips from his FBI handlers that the victims were informing against him. So he was in charge, and that's now how it's supposed to work.
But what do people say he's like in person?
He's a charming guy, and he's had a knack from whether he was a teenager to when he was Charlie Gasco hiding in Santa Monica of neutralizing the people immediately around him, his neighbors, with kindness. As a kid in the housing projects of South Boston, he was famous for hauling up the groceries from the other mothers. When he was arrested in Santa Monica, his neighbors going, "Oh, that nice guy down the hall or in the building." They didn't know him very well. And I think that was always, I'm not sure how conscious it was after all these years, but it was part of his technique.
Dick, what's organized crime in Boston like these days?
Nothing like it was in the so-called glory years of the mafia and the Angiulo crime family. And then when Whitey was at the top of his gang during the 80s, I mean, there certainly is still organized crime, but there aren't these prima donna figures, these marquee names who controlled things, from the 60s right up to the end of the century.
Dick Lehr, author of Whitey, The Life of America's Most Notorious Mobster. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Scott.